Hello, folks, this is JDR. You are listening to CD 100. Before recent events, I thought a lot about what to do for the 100th episode. And due to recent events, there is only one thing to do. So I'm dedicating this show to the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali, who recently passed at the age of 74. A man of great strength. He wasn't just a boxer. He was the greatest humanitarian. He was a man of great wisdom. He had the biggest heart. And I have watched him since I was a kid. And I always felt like he was family. I always felt like he was the big brother that I never really got to meet. I would just see him on television. But I felt like I knew him, and I most definitely loved him. I loved him so much that when he lost to Larry Holmes, I cried, because I knew that his abilities were declining. It became apparent to me that the greatest of all time was, well, he was getting old. Like we all get old. But it was something that I really couldn't comprehend, because I kind of felt that he would be the champion forever. And it took me a while, especially now after his passing, to realize that he is not only the greatest forever, but he is and will remain the champion forever. The champion of the world. And so, without further ado, we remember the greatest of all time.
So I was building this house at the time, and I decided to build on the corner of my house that was supposed to be the playroom for my kids, and I turned it into a Muhammad Ali showroom. His name of it is Ali, Muhammad Ali's Corner.
Before James Brown said, "I'm black and I'm proud," Muhammad Ali said, "I'm black and I'm pretty." To extrapolate Muhammad Ali from the times in which he lives is what's called historic presentism. It is to talk about George Washington and not talk about the American Revolution. It's to talk about Abraham Lincoln and not talk about the Civil War. It's to talk about Franklin Delano Roosevelt and not talk about the Depression and World War II. Our brother Muhammad Ali was a product of a difficult time, and he dared to love black people. at a time when black people had a problem loving themselves.
I don't like fighters who talk too much.
Well, Henry Cooper's nothing but a tramp. He's a bum. I'm the world's greatest. He must fall in 5 rounds, but if you talk about me, I'll cut it 3. I'll never fight another fella as tough as Doug Jones, not even that big ugly bear Sonny Liston.
Is he your next fight?
Well, after I annihilate this Henry Cooper, I want that bear.
And what's going to happen to him?
I want him bad.
What's going to happen to him?
He might be great, but he'll fall in 8. I'm the prettiest fight in the ring today. That's my label.
Shut up, man. I want you quiet.
I'm too fast.
You're saying about round 5.
Round 5. No special training. Just be at the fight. I'm ready to back up everything I'm saying. And I'm through talking.
Is this...
The man to beat me haven't been born yet. Well, I'll tell Henry Cooper, if he's watching this show, to come to the fight and be ready to fight. Because I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to London to get you. And after I'm through beating him, I think he'll have to join the Beatles and be a singer.
This will be Buster's last stand. Joe Frazier's in trouble. Because the Muhammad Ali Joe Frazier's going to meet is going to be better than the Muhammad Ali he met 3 years ago.
All people watching this interview, I'm seriously trying to get Joe Frazier and George Foreman in one night and to go down as the greatest fight of all time. Some of them still have doubt. They're making excuses. I want to whoop both of these men in one night, and I'll have a record that nobody can touch.
Notice he didn't come to Zaire. He didn't come to Indonesia. He didn't come to Manila. He didn't come to Malaysia because he knows he will get in trouble over here in this country because they don't like people like him over here. And all I got to do is get the word, and we'll bump him off.
I'm going to do something to Joe Frazier that might be illegal. My lawyers told me to bring a bail bondsman to get me out of jail. They might put my tail in jail and get me out on bail after what I do to Joe Frazier.
I don't think that there's no heavyweight alive who couldn't beat me. I know there are none alive.
Got the world thinking I'm fat, but I'm ready. I'm gonna dance.
That's right.
I'm gonna dance.
That's right. All night long.
Frankenstein and Igor.
Hallelujah.
Igor.
Frankenstein and Frank Igor.
Frank and Igor. You shall meet the
Buster. I predict that this will be Buster's last stand. I will do the Buster what the Indians did to Custer. I'm going to wipe him out. And I'm going to prove that I am still the real champion. And I want them all to tune in to watch Buster ling on.
You want me to get some gloves on, boy?
What's gonna happen when you meet Smokin' Joe? And I said, Joe's gonna come out smoking, and I ain't gonna be joking. I'll be pecking and a poking, pouring water on his smoking. Then this might shock and amaze you, but I will destroy Joe Frazier. Some people say, you better watch Joe Frazier, he's awful strong. I said, tell him to try band roll on. That's deodorant.
Hey folks, this is JDR. You're listening to CD 100. And this is dedicated to the greatest of all time, forever and ever, the one and only Muhammad Ali. And unless you've been living under a rock, you know that he's passed at the age of 74. One thing I have to tell you that I loved about Ali was his charisma. You know, I mean, he was just... such a charismatic personality. He had such a, he was like the sun when he walked in the door. And listen, I never saw the man live. I didn't have to, because when I would watch him in interviews, especially like with Howard Cosell, and it was just captivating. I couldn't take my eyes off the TV. I had to watch this man from the first time that I saw him and was old enough to understand. I think at the beginning I kind of thought he had a big mouth, but he would back it up every time, and then it was just certain things he said and how he said it, and you know, the wisdom came out, and he was like, you know, as a kid, really, like I said before, he was like, you know, the big brother that I never got to meet, you know? I mean, it was certain individuals that were stars that I always felt were family members. And he was definitely like a big brother, you know. And Richard Pryor was kind of like an uncle, you know. And Ali was just so amazing because he would predict rounds and he would do it. He would say, hey, you know, he's going down in five and fifth round would come. And boom, you know. And, I mean, he did it with Foreman. He did it with Liston. You know, he was just so fantastic. He was just such an amazing man, such an amazing personality. And, you know, the world's going to miss him. The world will never forget him. And the world will be better because of Muhammad Ali. I'll return.
Muhammad Ali will always be remembered both for his devastating jabs in the ring and for his playful barbs outside. And there was one man who was a frequent foil for Ali's one-liners.
That's legendary ABC sportscaster Howard Cosell. Both men sharing a whole lot of laughs and a deep respect for one another, while the rest of us just got to sit back and enjoy the show.
Touch me.
What you call
it? Let's tell it like it is. Right from the beginning.
I done made you famous enough. Everywhere I go, you follow me to get your name in the papers and on television.
Be stealing bikes in Louisville if
don't
it
tell bikes. Tell people I stole bikes.
You're being extremely truculent. Whatever truculent mean, if that's good, I'm there.
I hope it's not an act. I hope you mean
if it's an act. Just look at my record and see if have the other fights been acts. Have they been acts?
Not so far.
Well, what makes you think I'm acting?
And with that final stage of the act.
This is unexpected. I didn't know you would invite me to do this. Oh, hold it. You must be on boxing position and just have a little dance like we're boxing in just for 1 second. I have to time it for 1 second.
And where and when?
I'd like to fight whoever you think's the best, the number one man. I'd say he's Zor Foley.
I'm not sure that there's anybody left, really, for you to fight.
You.
That may come about someday. Thank you for coming
on. Stay in shape. Tell you, Cosell, I've been taking oxygen because I need the oxygen. What you will see is I won't need the oxygen tonight. I'm ready.
You always said, Muhammad, you're not the man you were 10 years ago, right?
Right.
Well, I'm going to ask your wife, are you the man you was last year?
You'll get a quick answer that
I congratulate you. It's my honor. Your name is Muhammad Ali.
And that was so important to him, to be called by the name that he chose for himself.
And I think that's how he earned Muhammad Ali's respect, is because he was one of the first sportscasters to use his, instead of Cassius Clay, to refer to him as Muhammad Ali. But here you have two guys with enormous egos, seemingly nothing in common, but they used one another in positive ways.
They really did, on paper at least, have almost nothing in common, but just the chemistry there was unmistakable.
Undeniable. And coming up, a final look at what made Muhammad Ali so great in the ring. We'll be right back.
With an incredible clip.
Okay, man.
Put your faces too dirty.
I'm a poet. I'm a prophet. I'm the resurrector. I'm the savior of the boxing world. If it wasn't for me, the game would be dead.
If you think the world was surprised when Nixon resigned, wait till I whip Foreman behind.
I've done something special. I've wrestled with an alligator. I've tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail. Last week, I murdered a rock. Injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick.
Who would bet on Floyd Patterson beating me? Who would bet on Ernie Terrell beating me? I told you I was floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee.
I'm young, I'm handsome, I'm fast, I'm pretty, and can't possibly be beat.
I'm the king of all things.
You want my title? Come on, come. You challenging the greatest of all time.
I told you, I'm the real champion. I told you, I'm the champion of the world. All of you, Bob.
I'm as confident as I say, and I'm better than I say I am.
I always feel that I'm going to win. If I didn't, I wouldn't be fighting.
I am bigger than boxing. I am bigger than all the champions put together. I'm bigger than the Super Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Kentucky Derby, the 500. When I go, the world, truly, the world is...
Do I just sound like I'm quiet to you? As loud as I'm hollering, you call me quiet? I'm hollering loud because I can back up every word.
I've had apartments with danger. I've sneered at doom. I've chuckled in the face of catastrophe. I've stood fearless in the hour of horror. I've gambled with the odds of fate.
As you know, today is the jet age. Everybody's trying to break records. Manning says that he'll be on the moon in 1970. One man said that they're going to make cars that run the sunlight. Well, those are pretty game predictions. Well, I predicted I'd be the heavyweight champion by the time I'm 21.
You know what I wanted to do to make the fight interesting and colorful was to get me in a dark room and get a candlelight and show just my head, you understand? Real ghosty-like. And say, I am very glad that all of you have come to the theaters tonight to witness this fight. This will be the thrilling and the most dramatic fight in the history of all fights. Get you a seat and relax. Fight is scheduled for 15 rounds if there's no machine guns or bombs fired. So enjoy yourself and be among those who dare to dare.
You were the greatest of all time, and I think everybody out there watching now will say that you proved it to
me. Man who was bound me up, too power, too strong, I proved that Allah is God. Elijah Muhammad is a messenger, and I have faith in them, and regardless of the world and the pressure, I made it an easy night, because Allah has power over all things. If you believe in him, nothing, even George Foreman, will look like a baby. It wasn't a close fight, was it?
No, it wasn't a close fight.
Was it close before I knocked him out?
No.
And all you suckers, wait. Is this on close? Is it live?
Right now.
Everybody stop talking now, attention. I told you, all of my critics, I told you all that I was the greatest of all time. When I beat Thunder Liston, I told you today, I'm still the greatest of all time. Never again defeat me.
Never again
say that I'm going to be defeated. Never again
make me the underdog until I'm about 50 years old.
That's right.
Then you might get me. But I didn't dance. I didn't dance for a reason. I wanted to make him lose all his power. I kept telling him he had no punch. He couldn't hit. He's swinging like a sissy. He's missing. Let me see your box. I hadn't started dancing yet. You can't say my legs are gone. You can't say I was tired, because what happened? I didn't dance from the second round on. I stayed on the ropes. When I stay on the ropes, you think I'm doing bad. But I want all boxers to put this in the page of boxers. Staying on the ropes is a beautiful thing with a heavyweight when you make him shoot his best shots and you know he's not hitting you. I would have gave George Foreman two rounds of steady punching, because after that he was mine. But he was falling, he was missing. I don't know if I'm gonna fight again or not. I'm gonna retire as of now. I have to talk to my leader, the most honorable. Are you still planning to retire?
Assalamu alaikum to all the Muslims. Thanks to Almighty God Allah. I want all of you fans out there who believe in me, read the Muhammad Speaks newspapers, go to your local Muslim temple and learn more about the life-giving power from Allah through Elijah Muhammad that I've got. You saw all the white people, the critics, the world, had me ranked to go down. This was their man, and Allah, God, was with me, and this man looked like nothing. Well, I want you to remember that. Want to know where I get the power? Visit your local Muslim mosque. Read that Muhammad Speaks newspaper. Take it from me.
That just proves you can have commercials on closed-circuit television just as you can have it on real television. Muhammad, what did you say to George Foreman?
It's not a commercial. Tell him people to believe in God.
Tell me, what did you say to George Foreman before the fight? What did you say to him?
I told him he has no power. In the corners and in the clinches, I said, shoot your best shot. I'm going back to the ropes. They told me he was strong. Didn't I look stronger than him?
Why didn't he tell me, Muhammad? This is the thing that puzzled people. Why was it when you were on the ropes that he could not hurt you, even when you were right there on the ropes?
Blocking, and I was pulling back, and I have a radar built inside me. I know how to judge punches. Didn't I tell all of you out there on your local radio shows, mostly black stations, I told you, I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. His hands can't hit what his eyes can't see. So that's what happened.
That's what you said to me. But tell me now, are you really going to retire, Muhammad?
I'm seriously thinking about retiring. There's nothing else for me to fight. I told him, well, I'm going to retire. I'm going to hold the title for a few months. They took my title unjustly. I told you, I'm the real champion. I told you, I'm the champion of the world. All of you bow. All of my critics crawl. All of you suckers who write the Ring magazine. Boxing Illustrator, all of you suckers bow because the stage was set. You made him great. You made him a bad Joe Louis. You made him a hard puncher. But I want everybody from this moment on to recognize me as the scholar of boxing. If you want to know any damn thing about boxing, don't go to no boxing experts in Las Vegas. Don't go to no Jimmy DeGreek. Come to Muhammad Ali. I am the man.
One last question, Muhammad.
Hello, my man, Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner out there.
Muhammad, one last question. Tell me, would you say that this at this moment, is this the happiest moment of your life?
No. Happiest moment of my life when I met Elijah Muhammad, the freedom speaker of black people. But I want to say this. Hello to all my friends in Louisville, Kentucky. Joe Martin, Fred Stoner, all of my friends in Louisville, Kentucky, where I started. I'm recognized all over the world now, but my greatness came and started in Louisville, Kentucky. And that's one of the greatest cities in America, Louisville, Kentucky. And I predict that Louisville, Kentucky will have another world champion because Louisville is the greatest. Louisville.
Things are getting much better, but I always wondered when I went to church on Sundays. I've always been one to, I'm not just a boxer. I do a lot of reading, a lot of studying. I ask questions. I travel these countries. I watch how their people live and I learn. And I always ask my mother, I said, Mother, how come is everything white? I said, why is Jesus white with blonde hair and blue eyes? Why is the Lord's Supper all white men? Angels are white. Pope and the Mary and even the angels. I said, Mother, when we die, do we go to heaven? She said, naturally, we go to heaven. I said, well, what happened to all the black angels they took the pictures? I said, oh, I know. If the white folks was in heaven too, then the black angels were in the kitchen preparing the milk and honey. I said, listen, you quit saying that. Boy, I was always curious, and I always wondered why I had to die to go to heaven. Why I couldn't have pretty cars and good money and nice homes now? Why do I have to wait till I die to get milk and honey? And I said, Mama, I don't want no milk and honey. I like steaks and I said, milk and honey is a laxative anyway. They have a lot of bathrooms in heaven. So anyway, I was always curious. I always wondered why. You know, Tarzan is the king of the jungle in Africa. He was white. And, white man. I saw this white man swinging around Africa with a diaper on, hollering, oh! You all see Tarzan over here?
Right.
Tarzan? And all the Africans, so he's beating them up and breaking the lion's jaw. And here's Tarzan talking to the animals, and the Africans been there for centuries, and he yet can't talk to the animals. Only Tarzan can talk to them. I always wonder why. Miss America was always white. All the beautiful brown women in America, beautiful suntans, beauty shapes, all tight complexions, but she always was white. And Miss World was always white. And Miss Universe was always white. And then they got some stuff called White House cigars, white swan soap, king white soap, white cloud tissue paper, white rain hair rinse, white tornado flow wax. Everything was white. And the angel food cake was the white cake, and the devil food cake was the chocolate cake. I said, Mama, why is everything white? I always wondered, you know, and the president lived in the White House. And Mary had a little lamb, his feet as white as snow, and snow white. And everything was white. Santa Claus was white. And everything bad was black. The little ugly duckling was a black duck. And the black cat was the bad luck. And if I threaten you, I'm going to blackmail you. I said, Mama, why don't they call it white male? They lied too. I was always curious. And then this is when I knew something was wrong. Won the Olympic gold medal in Rome, medley. Olympic champion, the Russian standing right here, and the Pole right here. Is Poland considered a communist country?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm defeating America's so-called threats or enemies. And the flag is going, ton, 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 ton. I'm standing so proud. Ton, 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 ton. And I'd have whooped the world for America. Ton, 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 ton. I took my gold medal, thought I'd invented something. I said, man, I know I'm going to get my people freedom today. I'm the champion of the whole world, Olympic champion. I know I can eat downtown now. And I went downtown that day, had my big old medal on, and went in the restaurants. At that time, black things weren't integrated. The black folks couldn't eat downtown. And I went downtown, I sat down, and I said, you know, a cup of coffee, a hot dog. He said, the lady said, we don't serve Negroes. I'm so mad. I said, I don't eat them either. Just give me a cup of hot dog. I said, I'm the Olympic gold medal. And 3 days ago, I fought for this country in Rome. I won the gold medal, and I'm going to eat. The manager, I heard her tell the manager, and she says, he said, well, I'm not the man. Now, he's got to go out. Anyway, I didn't raise no money. They put me out. And I had to leave that restaurant in my hometown where I went to church and served in their Christianity and fought and daddy fought in all the wars. Just won the gold medal and couldn't eat downtown. I said, something's wrong. And from then on, I've been a Muslim.
Yes, I was going to ask you, in fact, what attracted you to the
truth, but the teachings of Elijah Muhammad on how black people's been brainwashed, how they've been taught to love white and hate black, how we've been robbed of our names in slavery, we were robbed of our culture, we were robbed of our true history, so it left us a walking dead man. So you got black people in all white country, and they don't know nothing about themselves, they don't speak the language, they're just mentally dead. And this is happening all over the world. But the first place that will rise will be the black people in America, and then the rest of them will. But it's going to, I was one who heard the truth. And when I heard the truth about my name was not Cassius Clay, I know a black man in America named John Hawkins. Now, you know who John Hawkins was. He was a slave trader from England. But the white people at that time, if one had five slaves and his name was Jones, they would be called Jones property. If you was auctioned off to Mr. Smith, your name was Smith. Identifying you as property of certain masters. So now that I'm free, now that I'm no longer a slave, then I want a name of my ancestors, Muhammad Ali. Like a Chinese, how could a Chinese look named Robert Smith? how would a German look named Edward Goldberg? A Jewish name. So when I heard that we don't have our names, we don't speak our true Arabic language, we were robbed of Islam, our true religion, and we've been made deaf, dumb, and blind in slavery, and Elijah Muhammad was taught by Allah, who we refer to as God, to teach us the truth that will free us. And when I heard it, I've been free ever since. I have no racial problems. I don't go where I'm not wanted. I'm proud, and Islam did it. So, and after these things that I heard in church, preaching, watching this and that, I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't pinpoint it. But as soon as I heard the truth that Elijah Muhammad teaches us in America, it made me accept it.
Now, you know, a lot of people would take what Ali said in that interview as racism. It's not racism, and it doesn't make every black man racist. It's just being truthful. It's being truthful. I mean, it's because he's right. Santa Claus is white. I mean, I get pissed off when I see the pictures of Jesus Christ with the blonde hair and the blue eyes, and I'm like, well, what's going on here? You know, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. You know, what can I say, you know, and he's right. I mean, you know, for years, black history wasn't even taught in schools. I mean, when I went to school, when I went to elementary school, middle school, and high school, you weren't learning black history. You weren't learning anything about black history. You weren't learning about the Buffalo Soldiers. You weren't learning about black cowboys. everything in history was white. And you would think that as we evolve as a society, that things would change. Now, a lot of things have changed. I mean, like he was mentioning the Miss America. You know, there's been black Miss America winners. There's just Miss USA. She's a black woman, a lieutenant in the military. So, you know, a lot of things are changing, but, you know, there's still a lot of work to do. I wouldn't suggest that everybody runs out, you know, every black person runs out and becomes a Muslim. I mean, if that's your thing, then fine. You know, I know me personally, I'm not really into it. You know, I'm not really into organized religion of any type. I remain a deist, a free thinker. And so, you know, I believe in God in a different way. But, you know, I have a slave name, you know, Swiss Family Robinson, if you think of it that way. You know, but I'm not bitter towards anyone. I try not to be, even though, you know, you see a lot of heinous acts done, not just, you know, against minorities, you know, and then you hear some idiot like Trump who just, you know, makes things worse, you know, and I think because of a lot of things that Muhammad Ali said, in this next clip, you're going to probably understand a little bit more about why he didn't go to Vietnam, because if he'd have went to Vietnam, he wouldn't have fought. He wouldn't have had to do anything but just do some exhibitions. He'd have traveled around, you know, he'd have knocked out a few fighters here and there. He would have never seen war. And yet he did not go. And lost 3 years of his boxing career because of that. It just shows you the determination of the man and the resolve. I mean, he you know, he was just really strong in his faith and his belief, and he wanted people to understand the black man and to understand that we are basically all equal. That's basically what he was trying to say, is that, listen, we're all equal and there's no reason for all this fighting, and I don't want to go out and to another country and shoot innocent people that have done nothing to me. You know, and that's, I totally get it. I don't think I understood it at that time because I went to the military, but I understand it even more now. He was a great man. He was just simply a great man. There's really not enough words to describe how great he was, you know. So you're listening to CD100 on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS on Podomatic.com, on SoundCloud. There's no Blogspot. There's no David Robinson at Blogspot, but there is a Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.com. We're trying to get on, Google Play, but it's just confusing. I'm not understanding how that whole thing works. So as I give my shout-outs to the NYPD and the FDNY and the North Shore Animal League and the ASPCA and Alle meine Freunde in Deutschland, let's continue to listen to Muhammad.
Will you welcome, please, Muhammad Ali.
I'm not allowed to earn a living here. I'm not allowed to leave the country. And I had about $10 million in contracts in foreign countries, European and African countries. And the government has taken my passport so that I can't go out here to work. Then I cannot work in America. So, and I have, I can name many more people,
but,
you know.
But you can't say, though, can you, Muhammad, the simple thing that one race is righteous and another isn't. We all have
I'm not going into that, you know, I just said.
No, but I can't leave you saying that, in the sense you can't say that one race.
Well, I would say that weapons, all of your guns and your bombs and your poisons are created by your white race.
You can't say that, though, Muhammad. We all have faults.
I would say whiskey and homosexuality. If you go back to England, your country, Europe, when they kicked out the old...
Packed with whiskey and homosexuality, you
remember,
wherever you look.
You remember
look,
when the old... A lot of the whites were kicked out of there. They say they're trash, they say, so-called.
No, but
they,
but I mean...
They're the ones that landed here.
You can say certain... You can say that there are certain things that, for instance, come and stem from
I'll
white people. On the other hand, mm-hmm. the black race is equally. We all have our faults.
Well,
you know?
I would say this.
I mean, cannibalism. Where does that come from?
I would say this.
I don't know about cannibalism.
All I know is what you told me in history about it.
You are a wise man. You're an intelligent man. And if I was not a Muslim or a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I couldn't talk to you for 2 minutes. And I believe I can hold my own as intelligent conversation with you. But it all comes from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But people praise me. Oh, you should be the leader. Well, you don't have to follow Elijah. Man, are you a fool? Everything I got come from him. He taught me who I was. He made me proud. He made me fearless. He made me love my own. I've turned down millions and to keep from selling out my people. The beautiful name Muhammad Ali, I now have 56 Muslim invitations by governments. All they ask me about when I go to those countries, how is Elijah Muhammad?
You believe something which I happen to know isn't true.
Now hold it. What is it that I believe?
You believe...
It's not true.
You believe that the entire white community is your enemy. I happen to know it's not your enemy. I doubt if there's anybody in this room who is your enemy.
I tell you what.
But I do believe that just as Hitler persuaded all the Germans to believe that all of the Jews were their enemy, that the people are engaged in spreading this kind of virulence, and that some very, very sincere people get caught up in it. You're an example of it.
It was very early on that I recognized that no board inquiring into his intellect could ever sincerely have come to the conclusion that he was too dumb to be drafted, because he was a very bright guy.
22 million black people in America. Who would you say our everyday common enemy is? What other country or what nationality? I mean, you know, you have the nerve to be on a TV show like this and look at me like I'm wrong for saying Elijah Muhammad is poisoning you by telling you that we're your enemies. Yeah. And I feel it and see it every day. And every black man watching this show know you are enemies. And you have the nerve to stand up here and say Elijah Muhammad is poisoning my mind. He cannot teach us that you are enemy. You taught us. And your people daily, Martin Luther King is bumped off unjustly. Adam Clayton Powell was bumped off unjustly. They took my title unjustly. They killed Megas Ever unjustly. All the integrators who love white folks was unjustly kicked out of Washington. They've been deprived of education and poverty throughout the country.
The extraordinary thing about it is that although I began thinking that he was simply special pleading on his own behalf, I ended up by thinking he was absolutely correct.
Now, don't say I hate you now. Don't say that. I know now. I was going through Mississippi on a college tour not long ago. Stopped at the filling station. Have a long limousine. You know, I pulled through. And I traveled in it because a lot of times I don't like to fly. And the fella came out. He said, what must I give you, boy? And had a fella with me. He said, boy. I said, shut your mouth. Restroom. Well, I don't think it's working. I said, thank you, sir. I'm not going to stand up. I'm the champ of the whole world. You want me to fight for America and I can't even use the toilet. You want me to... what you talking... I wasn't going to do that. I had a right to say I'm the Olympic gold medal winner. I'm Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. He's mad. He called the highway patrol and a Klansman might be around. I'm way back in there by myself and I can't box that good. You understand? To avoid that booby trap, I said, shut your mouth. We'll go down the highway and find a place we can go. We went a little farther and we were welcomed in another one. So what I'm trying to say is, I know where to go and where not to go.
Thank you.
I going to do in the next 16 years? What's the best thing I can do? Get ready to meet God. Owning real estate, going in business, teaching boxers, that won't get me to heaven. God is watching me. God don't praise me because I beat Joe Frazier. God don't care nothing about England or America as far as your wealth is all his. He wants to know, how do we treat each other? How do we help each other? So I'm going to dedicate my life to using my name and popularity, helping charities, helping people, uniting people, bringing people bumming each other because of religious beliefs. We need somebody in the world to help us make peace. So when I die, if there's a heaven, I want to see it. Because we live how long? 80 years? The odds are, everybody in this room, some of you going to be dead 20 years from now. Some of you going to be dead 50 years from now. Some are going to be dead 30, some are going to be dead 60, 70 years from now. We all going to die soon. So this is a test to see where will we spend our life in heaven or hell. This is not the life now. Your real self is inside you. Your body gets old. Some of you go to look at the fridge, you don't have no teeth. Your hair is leaving you. Your bodies get tired. But your soul and your spirit never die. That's going to live forever. So your body is just housing your soul and spirit. So God is testing us on how we treat each other, how we live, to see where our real home be in heaven. So this physical stuff don't last for so long. So my car, this building is going to be here when the man who built it dead. There have been many kings and queens of England. They're all dead. After this one is gone, another one will come. So we don't stay here. We're just trustees. We don't own nothing. Even your children are not yours. If you think I'm lying, your wife is not yours. You don't own your children. You don't own your family. So what am I saying? The most important thing about life is what's going to happen when you die. Are you going to go to heaven or hell? And that's eternity. How long is eternity? So what am I going to do when I'm through fighting? I only have 16 years to be productive. Get myself ready to meet God and go to the best place. Don't that make sense?
Thank you.